First reading today is from John chapter 1, starting at the first verse, and can be found on page 1063 of your church Bibles. John chapter 1, starting at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from John chapter 4, verses 43 to 54. And Jesus heals the official's son. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Canaan in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus replied, "You may go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "The fever left him yesterday at the 7th hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time of which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Please keep that passage open. page 106.8, and let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your words to us, for this true account of Jesus. And help us to meet him now through your words. By your Spirit, help us to know more about what it means to follow Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Well, we are into the new year. I don't know if you're someone who does New Year's resolutions, tend to think, oh, new year, new you, all of that sort of thing. Quite often, I guess, people will make a New Year's resolution to get fit in some way. And you have to think, you have to break it down. Well, how is this going to happen? I need to get started. I need to get started to get fit. So it might be joining a gym or joining some sort of sports club or sorting out a diet or something like that. And then keeping going. It's all very well. The January rush to join all these sporty things. But what happens after that? I need a program, practice, times, days, whatever it looks like. And then maybe it's even having sort of a level to aim at, comparing to others. I want to be better than them, nearer to them. Them I'm just going to ignore because that's way out of my league. But some sort of level to judge to. Well, what about the Christian faith? What about trust in Jesus? Can we see it something like that? We're jumping into John's Gospel, end of chapter 4. I think 3 or 4 years ago we were at earlier chapters. But in chapter 4, Jesus has been in Samaria. You may remember that story, the woman by the well. And she's come to faith in Jesus. And then she's spread it around, and other Samaritans have come to faith. And so this chapter has this real theme of faith. Where does it come from? How does it keep going? And here the question is, well, what will happen when Jesus is back in Galilee on his home soil? We're going to see that faith starts by hearing. We're going to see that faith continues by exercise. And then as we think about others and levels and judging and comparing, we're going to realize that everyone needs faith and all can come to Jesus. So first of all, faith comes by hearing. And this might be you or someone you know have said, I would believe in Jesus if I saw a sign, a miracle. Wouldn't that be brilliant? Imagine here this morning in White Waltham Church, there was an amazing miracle of healing or some such thing like that. It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? We'd all be talking. People from the village would be coming in, come and see this amazing miracle or transformation or whatever it was. And in John's Gospel, John, he records particular miracle signs. They are great. This is the second sign recorded by John. So he writes there, he bothers to write in verse 54, this was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed. He wants you to notice it. The first one was water into wine in chapter 2. They're explicitly described as signs. He says, spot this, this is a sign. This is a miraculous sign. And we can describe them as kind of public works which, with symbolism. They have, there's something demonstrated. There's a lot of symbolism telling us something about who Jesus is and what he came to do, showing Jesus to be the Son of God in this world. And towards the end of John's Gospel, he will write, these signs, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. They're important, and there are 7 signs going through John's Gospel. They're great, specific miracles that Jesus does, so we can know more about him and believe in him. But what does Jesus say here? In verse 48, he's been asked for a miracle, a sign, and he says, well, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. Can you hear an exasperated tone in Jesus' voice? You just want miracles and miracles and miracles, you people. What's he saying? Is he being a bit negative about these signs? Well, he's saying that miracles, they're supposed to be signs pointing to Jesus. They're not kind of this fun, magical show to keep following around. Imagine you've been a long time away somewhere, and it's been a long journey home. And as you come back after a long time and a long journey, you see a welcome sign, welcome home. But you're not going to stay hanging around this sign going, oh, they've drawn this sign rather beautifully. They've used lovely colours. Maybe there's lights around it. You know that home, the place, the people, that's the thing. The sign is pointing to the important thing. And Jesus says the same of these miracles. He says, think less of the miracles and more of me. Signs are important in John's Gospel, and we'll see others as we go through. There's walking on water, there's healing the paralyzed, there's feeding 5,000, there's healing a blind man, there's raising Lazarus. They go through to chapter 11, but then they stop. In chapter 12, we read, even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. Signs are not enough. They're never enough. And so Jesus' words here in verse 48, rather than being negative about the sign, they're a gift, they're a grace for this royal official. He's saying, take your eyes off these signs. Jesus wants him, he wants the Galileans, he wants us not to pay attention to miracles, but to pay attention to him. And his words can bring life-giving faith. And so we read on into the New Testament. Paul can write in Romans 10, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. These signs are deliberate, and they point to Jesus, so that we may believe he's the Christ, the Son of God. But it's better to see Jesus, hear his words that bring faith. And it's really striking, even in this sign, that the official is given words. He's not given a miracle that he can see then and there. He's given words to trust. And until he hears and trusts and acts on these words, he will not see the sign. So faith comes by hearing. Hear God's word, and it brings faith. So we need to keep our faith healthy this new year by hearing. Do you have times in God's word for yourselves through the week? How are you helped by that? Do you have kind of a booklet or things that ask you questions or people to share these things with? Do you pay attention to sermons or maybe listen to talks in other ways? And time with other Christians as we bring God's word to each other. In Colossians it says, let God's word dwell in you richly, sumptuously. Have it on your walls. Be reading it. It cannot mean that faith comes without hearing. Come back to that person. I would believe in Jesus if I just saw a miracle, if I just saw something dramatic. Well, again and again, and particularly in John's gospel, we see that lots see and don't believe. Instead, we need to hear and meet the person of Jesus. And it cannot mean that it's worth waiting until our friends or family or members find the way themselves. Maybe they'll fall into church. Maybe they'll trip over a Bible. No, they need to hear the words of gospel, of good news of Jesus. It may be that you, I, we're well placed to bring it to them themselves or invite them to something where they will hear the good news. Jesus shows us faith comes by hearing. That's how he gets started. We've got started, but how do we keep going? Well, he shows us that faith grows by exercise. You've started with the new year and you've started the thing. How are we going to keep going? Well, it grows by exercise. And this is, I guess, you or someone you know asking, sometimes it's just hard to believe God is at work. The what ifs of life. The why this. How can our faith survive in troubled times? I don't know if you have sort of a skill or a talent that you've had or something you've picked up. You need to keep exercising it or practicing it to keep it ready for action. Maybe it's a musical gift or a sporting gift or a sort of academic talent or whatever it is. I used to do life saving at university. It was a competitive sport, believe it or not. That was quite a long time ago now, sadly. But I keep it ticking over. Every time I go swimming, I will do that thing where you swim on your side and you keep one hand handy, or you do that funny thing with your legs and you keep two hands handy, just in case when I'm swimming with my kids, someone gets a cramp. I will still be able to drag them 25 metres, 50 metres. I keep it ticking on. I'm exercising it. We need to exercise our faith for those times when it's just in case. And I think this story can help. So let's get into the story. We meet this official. Verse 46, a royal official, a nobleman, he's a king's man, he's of great influence and wealth. He has everything he could possibly want in this society, except that his son is seriously ill. You can imagine him saying, I watched as the colour drained out of my son's face, the light in his eyes dimmed, his death was imminent. I felt helpless. I realised the limits of my influence and my money. I can buy a bed but not sleep. I can buy a house but not a home. I can buy a companion but not friendship, books but not brains. And I cannot buy life and health. Suddenly I heard of Jesus' arrival nearby. That I had a glimmer of hope. He's back in Cana. I'd heard about that wedding where he did that amazing miracle and produced all that wine for people. They're still talking about it. So I dash to see him. I go myself. This is desperately important. And then imagine the scene. The powerful royal official and the carpenter's son meet. And you see the powerful official asking, no, begging, in front of the onlookers. This is a desperate ruler. Lord, sir, heal my son. The royal official said, verse 49, sir, come down before my child dies. He's humble. He's not asserting a position. He's coming to Jesus. Jesus' reply, you may go. Your son will live. He's not giving him a sign, a miracle right there. He's giving him words to trust. Jesus will not go. There's no sign to see. There's a word to believe. And how does the royal official react? Well, how would you react? Go, your son will live. You kind of go, oh, can I have a bit of proof, a little sign now, please, to keep me going? Or maybe, oh, no, that means it's not going to work. I'll just give up, try something else. Or maybe I'll just keep at him. Maybe he'll come with me. Maybe I'll grab him and drag him. How will his faith keep going? Well, it's a rather wonderful next sentence, verse 50. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. He took him at his words. Isn't that the best sentence in this story? Believing was going to be seeing. Not seeing and then believing, but he believed for the life of his son 18 miles away. He took Jesus at his word and went. And then over the next few verses, we see this amazing growth in faith. He's still on his way. His servants meet him. He asks, when did the miracle happen? Is it exactly the time Jesus said? And then he believes, and then his family believes, and his household believes. It's amazing. And also it's amazing that he seems to be going back steadily. He's not dashing back to see what happens. He's able to ask, when did this happen? He say, yesterday at 1 p.m., the seventh hour is 1 p.m. Well, Capernaum to Cana is only about 18 miles, maybe 4 hours away by horse. He doesn't seem to have dashed back. He has a settled faith. Jesus has said so, and it will be true. I was struck by that, because we all have problems and pressures. But if our lives are worried and frenetic and breathless and galloping, we've probably not learned to really rest and trust in God's word to us. If others see us as dashing from one activity to another, trusting ourselves, trying to get the best life here or even with church activities, what might others think of our trust in God? I personally try and avoid the word busy for myself when people say, how is it going? Because you feel a danger of getting sucked into this competitive southeast way of life. I've got to fill my life with activities and show that I am busier than anyone else, so I'm more important. But how would that reflect what I think of my Lord? Faith grows by exercise. And that means that it cannot mean that we'll keep our faith fit by not spending time with God, by not prioritizing his people, ministering and receiving ministry, by not learning and loving his promises. All of those things will lead to a flabby, unfit faith. And the next trouble that comes to weigh us down, we're not going to be able to lift it. We're going to be in trouble. Instead, we need to exercise our faith. We need to see God's promises. Hebrews 11 is a wonderful chapter about faith. It gives the example of Abraham, still living by faith when he died. He did not receive the things promises, but he saw them and welcomed them at a distance. Or Moses, who left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw what was invisible. The description of faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So when is it hard for you to believe God is at work? I guess it's when we cannot see God's benefits right now, but actually we see the troubles. Can we in those times turn to the word of God? A verse in Romans 8, verse 28 says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Can we by faith even see trouble as used for good by God in our lives? Can we take Jesus at his word for growing our faith that gives life? Think about the promise of peace without being able to understand. Or the promise of settled joy when it is not a happy time. These things must rest on the promise of God in our lives, now and forever. And it's hard. I find it hard. It takes exercising our faith in the all day, every day of life. We exercise our faith, take specific promises and apply them. Help each other with testimony, with seeing how God's word is at work. Keep working at it to have a fit faith. The end of the story, we saw an outburst of faith. It has spread. We're reminded it's not primarily the wine of chapter 2 or the healing here, but it's trusting in Jesus for life and life eternal. In fact, we're not promised healing. That's just a sign here pointing to Jesus, the promise of Jesus present and working for the good. He's our focus, our exercise of faith, not for the good things, but in the good God that we'll keep forever. Faith comes by hearing, it grows by being exercised, and we all need faith and can come to Jesus. Not just a few, think about the fitness regime. It's not just a few of us who need to stay fit and others can eat all the pies. We all need to be looking after our bodies and we all need to be looking after our faith. We always have life difficulties. There's always sin and there's always a good God to trust in. In these chapters of John, as we start our time in John's Gospel, chapters 2 to 4, we have two signs. With Jewish wedding, Jesus bringing about the age of the king, how to enter the kingdom, chapter 3. Do you remember chapter 3, verse 16? God so loved the world, he sent his son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Chapter 4, the Samaritan woman by the well, and then other Samaritans. Jesus is savior of the whole world. Talking about faith all the way through. Always by faith. Samaritan's faith, Galilean's lack of faith, the royal official's growing faith. It's going to tee up different responses to Jesus in the next few chapters. But for us, we're reminded Jesus calls true worshippers from every background to himself in growing faith. If you're not a Christian here this morning, or you're not sure, this is what God is asking you. Who do you say Jesus is? This man with the powers of God who can heal at a distance. This Jesus who calls people to put their trust in him. Check it out. Come on the Christianity Explored course on Sunday evenings with me, or let's meet at other times. It's great, again, to look at the person of Jesus and why he came. If you are a Christian, a bit further on, let's look again at the person who meets Jesus. He's a royal official. He had everything going for him in the society, but he still needed Jesus. Maybe there's someone that you know who seems to have everything going for them. It's hard to see that they need anything. Their marriage is going well, or their children always seem to succeed, or their job is flying. Their holidays are better than yours. They've got the most exciting hobbies. Their Facebook posts look amazing. Someone we know we feel unlikely to ever come to Jesus. They need Jesus. We need to see again the vital need of everyone for this Saviour. For faith that brings life in his name. We pray that they won't need a life disaster, but that God will melt their hearts and they'll come to him. And for all of us, when we go through tough times, maybe now or maybe in the future, God calling to us, bring us to the end of ourselves, to something we cannot sort out by ourselves, calling us to him. C.S. Lewis says, "The hardness of God is kinder than the softness of men." The hardness of God is kinder than the softness of men, by which he means the acts of God, when he uses the hard things in our lives to bring us to him, it is so important, and actually it's a kindness as we're brought to faith that brings life. The nobleman had to be hit over the head with facing the disaster of his dying son. We might have troubled times right now, or some other time, a sense of closing darkness, of illness, of futility, of sadness. We pray that these can be used, transformed, to be purposeful in our lives, that God can use them to bring blessing, bring us growing in faith, taking him at his word for an eternity of joy at his side. We've heard there is one who can meet our deepest need. Let's fly again to his feet, hear his words, obey him and receive a growing faith fit for life. Amen.